Senator David Cullen, thank you very, very much for taking our call this morning and coming on the phone. David, you were on Oireachtas television the other night, and I picked up on YouTube, speaking in the Senate about a certain member, a former county manager in Waterford, Mr. Ray O'Dwyer, who is now, I think, the chief operating officer with Irish Water. Am I right?
Yes, well, first of all, I think the broader issue of the establishment of Irish Water has been an absolute disaster.
It seems to be plagued with just problems.
Well, it's tainted with problems because the bill itself that gave effect to Irish Water was rushed through the Oireachtas just before Christmas. And in fact, the last week of the Dáil term before the Christmas recess, only 2 hours of debate was allocated to the Water Services Bill, which allowed for the setting up of Irish Water, was allocated. So there wasn't proper scrutiny in the Oireachtas in relation to the establishment of Irish Water. And questions that the opposition were asking, including Sinn Féin, around the cost of consultants, the starting up costs, but also staffing costs and whether there would be bonuses and if there had been a transfer of staff from local authorities over to Irish Water. And we simply didn't get the answers from the minister. First of all, because not enough time was given. And second of all, because the answers simply weren't given, even when they were asked. And I think it is a crazy situation where we have one former county manager from Waterford, Ray O'Dwyer, who received a very generous severance package where he saw his years of service, or he had 8 added years of service added to his pension. So he worked 32 years in local government and he had 8 years added to bring it to 40, which meant that he got a very generous severance package which allowed him to retire from civil service and from local government. To then go into Irish Water initially as a consultant and to be paid a nominal fee for that and head up the transitional unit, but following that to end up as head of operations for Irish Water. And the issue here is not that he's getting paid or that he's employed by Irish Water. He's entitled to that as an individual. The problem I have is that the pension abatement rules that would generally apply in the public service
Can you explain that for us, David, the pension abatement rules?
Yeah, the pension abatement rules, essentially it's quite difficult and complicated in terms of how it works, but essentially it's designed to add a degree of fairness so that if somebody retires from the public service and gets their pension topped up and they get a severance package that's above and beyond what they should get, that they don't then financially benefit when they come back and work in the public sector. So there's a check on it either through a reduction in their pension or in their pay. The problem is that this doesn't apply for semi-state companies, and that's what the government is hiding behind in this case.
They're basically saying that Irish Water is not a public service. It's
That's the argument here. But I think that most reasonable people looking at this, who get very angry about situations where former other politicians or very senior civil servants retire in these very generous packages in the first place. And Ray O'Dwyer's package was over €300,000 in terms of the overall package.
But I'm assuming, to give the other side of the story, that Irish Water and Mr. O'Dwyer, and we will be trying to get in touch with him, would say that, listen, this is a highly experienced public servant who is well used to the management of an organisation like Irish Water, or in his case, Waterford County Council.
Well, I've no difficulty whatsoever with Mr. O'Dwyer working for Irish Water, and I've no difficulty with somebody who retires from the public service then going back into the public service at some point.
Yeah.
The issue is when they get payments that are topped up to allow them to retire and they get these generous allowances and then they go back into the public service and then they financially benefit. I don't think that's acceptable. So what we are calling for is not that any civil servant who retires will be prevented from going into a semi-state company or indeed back into the public service, but that if they then are given an extra allowance to allow them to retire early, that is taken into account when they are paid, when they go back into working for the state.
I understand.
You can't have a situation.
Yes.
I don't think that people will accept, when people have taken huge amounts of cuts in our salaries in the public sector, generally those on middle and low incomes, that we have somebody that has 8 years added to their pension, gets a lump sum and an overall package of €300,000 plus a pension of over €60,000 a year, and then goes in and works for the state and gets a big salary on top of his pension and the lump sum he got and his pension. I think that is exactly the kind of thing that angers many working people out there who have suffered because of the last number of budgets. So what we're calling for is very simple. There is the pension abatement rule that applies in the public service. It should apply to semi-state companies as well, because despite despite the fact that it is a commercial entity, this taxpayer is paying for the establishment of Irish Water. The taxpayer will be paying the wages of this individual and other individuals who will move across from the local authorities into Irish Water.
Nope.
And obviously, while they will bring in a level of expertise, there has to be a level playing field as well. And the same rules that apply in the public service should also apply here.
David, as you're very well aware, Phil Hogan, Minister for Environment, has in your own constituency in Waterford, for example, has amalgamated both Waterford City and Waterford County Council, and that has happened in Tipperary and in other administrative areas throughout the country. Now, there are going to be a lot of senior public servants, for example, director of service level, county managers, city managers, who are actually going to be, they're not going to be made redundant, but the position is going to be redundant. You know, there's going to be a lot of headhunting out there and people of that ilk, you know, experienced people. Now, surely they're young, they're in their 50s, early 60s, that they should have an opportunity to advance their career.
Of course, but you see, the difficulty isn't that they should be prevented from advancing their career. I have no difficulty with that. But we have a situation, and it only applies to very senior civil servants, because it was a scheme that was introduced, probably crafted by senior civil servants and then adopted by the government, that they had their pensions topped up. The question here is not somebody transferring from local government and using their skills and going back into public service or indeed into any semi-state company. The fact is that we have individuals who had their pensions topped up, who had their severance package topped up, over and above what they should ordinarily get, and walking away with lottery sum figures in relation to the overall package. And the intent of that was to allow them to retire early because of the nature of the job. So the whole package was designed to allow somebody to retire, and they would get added years, in this case, in terms of Mr. O'Dwyer, 8 added years. That was to allow him to retire. Mm. He now gets that full pension, including the added years and the severance package, and then gets a salary from the state, albeit through a semi-state company. So that's the bone of contention. And the issue here is that the pension abatement rules, which are to prevent somebody financially benefiting from a package which is bumped up, then going back into the public service and working again, that applies in the public service. That's appropriate. That brings a level of fairness. The fact that it doesn't apply to semi-state companies, I think, is a mistake and needs to be rectified.
I mean, we've had, you know, the Public Accounts Committee have been working overtime recently. You've got all these top-ups in hospitals and in charities. What has gone wrong? I mean, have we not, as a nation, learned about, you know, to nip this kind of thing in the bud?
Well, I think we seem to have a culture in this state of top-up salaries and bonuses and huge pay to people who work at the top of the public sector. We've now seen it in charities and also semi-state companies. And of course, we saw what happened in the banks as well, where millions of euros of money was paid to people at the top in the banks. And I suppose it's still a hangover of the Celtic Tiger years. And while the vast majority of workers have had their pay substantially reduced because of pay cuts in the public sector and new taxes and so on, that culture of entitlement almost at the top and these huge pay and bonuses hasn't been resolved. And the difficulty then that politicians find themselves in is that when situations like this arise, as is the case with former county managers now transferring over to Irish Water and having benefited from a bumped up severance package, these issues need to be resolved by government, by legislation. The fact that they can do that and the pension abatement rules don't apply isn't the fault of Mr. O'Dwyer or any public.
And we must be very, very adamant in that. I mean, Mr. O'Dwyer has absolutely done absolutely nothing wrong.
No, there's absolutely nothing wrong at all. I mean, he has taken whatever pay he has been offered. He was given the package that he was given. So this is not about him as an individual. This is about the policy of whether or not the pension abatement rules should apply. And I believe that it is. But you asked a broader question of the pay at the top in the public sector. I think that most reasonable people, again, would take a view that the type of salaries that they've seen being paid to local government managers at the top, right across the civil service, and also those who are heading up charities, and even seeing funds that were raised for charitable funds being used to top up payments which are seen as already excessive, is a hangover of the Celtic Tiger years, and we just simply haven't dealt with it. So the responsibility for dealing with it is with government. We cannot blame the individuals who have taken the money, who are given salaries. I think we have to hold the boards of all of these organisations to account, but primarily the government and the legislators are the people who need to deal with this. And the very simple way out of the issue in relation to Irish Water is to ensure that the pension abatement rules apply, so that the compensation and the added value that was given to allow a county manager or anybody else in local government to retire and the top-up payments then would be reduced in terms of either the pension given or the salary given in Irish Water. And I think people would then see that as fair, and that person can go on and make the contribution that they can and should make in relation to sharing their expertise with Irish Water. But I cannot stand over, and I don't think the majority of citizens would stand over, a situation where somebody financially benefits from a package to allow them to retire. And the logic of it is that they can retire early, but then go back in and get a job, which is primarily funded by the taxpayer, and then get a salary on top of that. It just simply doesn't make sense at a time when people are taking so much pain themselves in relation to budget cuts and pay cuts.
One final question, David, before I let you go. Irish Water, it's a new startup company meant to right the wrongs in our delivery of public services and vital public services like water. Have they messed up? Have they shot themselves in the foot? Have they got off to a very bad start?
Well, obviously they have, because first of all, we have the situation where tens of millions of euro have been spent on consultants, and in fact some of the consultancy agencies which have been used by Irish Water were consultants which were advising the banks, which led to the collapse of the banking sector in this state and possibly as a consequence our economy. But we were also told that Irish Water was being set up to save money. We now see that, well, money has been wasted on consultants. We were told that Ambor Gosh was getting the contract so that it could save money again. It had the expertise that could allow for Irish Water to be established.
Yeah.
And then we see that, well, the Irish Water were buying in all this expertise at huge cost to the taxpayer. We've now been told by a very senior economist that there could be an overrun of 2 billion euro because of all of the extra staff that will be required. So the whole thing has been a disaster from start to finish. We had the comments from the Dublin city manager expressing concern in relation to the transfer of assets from Dublin City Council to Irish Water that will happen across the state. So there's been many issues, and the whole thing has been a debacle from start to finish.
Can I ask you a straight question? Would you express confidence in the management of Irish Water from what you have seen so far?
No, not at all. I mean, Sinn Féin has been very clear, and I've been on the record in the Shannon, and Brian Stanley, who is our environment spokesperson, is on the record in the Dáil that Irish Water should cease to go ahead. It simply hasn't worked. It won't work. We're establishing a new quango. This is about charging people for water, which, yes, it is an essential service and it needs to be paid for, but people already pay for water through their taxes. And I believe that this is just an exercise in getting more taxation in a regressive way, because at the end of all of this, the taxpayer will pay for all of this debacle, from the consultant spend to the senior staff and their bonuses to the overrun in their budget. It will be the user, the people who use the service, which is the ordinary citizen, once the water meters are installed, that will pay. And the regressive element of it is that the millionaire will pay the same as a low-income family, because it'll be based on how much water you use.
Yeah.
So we're moving away from fair and progressive taxation to all of these indirect taxes, which disproportionately impact on lower-income families and those out of work.
But
that's the logic here. That's the intent.
But surely you didn't need to set up Irish Water. I mean, your local authority, be it Dublin City Council, Waterford City Council, whatever, you know, could have charged, could have put in the meters and could have charged.
Well,
why was Irish Water set up? What was the rationale behind that?
Well, the government's rationale is that we had multiple local authorities dealing with water provision and they wanted to bring it under one umbrella.
Why?
You could argue there is some logic in that.
Yeah.
But the flaw in their analysis is that once you centralise it, it can actually become more expensive and it takes the power away from the local authority. And in the one hand, when you have Phil Hogan talking about empowering local government through putting people first, and that document that he released and the legislation that followed. And as you said, there's amalgamations of local authorities and there's reform in the area of local government. But in the same, at the same time, he's then taking power away from local government by stripping them of their assets in relation to water service provision, and then the power and function which will be transferred over to Irish Water. So there's a number of things happening here, and obviously I take a different view. The government will have to justify why they set up Irish Water and then all of the costs that would be associated for the taxpayer. Mm. In reality, the only reason why this has been done is because it's much easier for the government to charge for water through one agency, and this is all about charging people and about increasing revenue. It is not about water conservation. It isn't about improving the system, which in fact isn't working, where almost half of all treated water is leaked because of leaks in the system itself.
The metering isn't going to solve that. I mean, most of the leaks are...
The metering won't solve any of that. Yeah. And essentially, a water meter will be a cash register outside somebody's door. So the water that goes in will be charged, and you will be charged for the volume of water that you use. And again, while the government says that's good for conservation, there are other things that the government could have done to conserve water. And the first and obvious one is to fix the problems in the leaks where we're creating twice as much treated water as has been used because of leaks. Mm. So all of this is, as we know, designed to create extra revenue, but create extra revenue through a regressive way where the wealthy would pay the same as a low-paid family because it's based on usage. It's a regressive tax, a bit like the household tax. We're moving away from taxation based on income where you the more you pay, the more you earn, to more flat, regressive and indirect taxes, which disproportionately impact on low-income families, as we know. And so I think the whole thing has been in the battle. And not only do I have no confidence in Irish Water management, but I think that the Minister for the Environment, Phil Hogan, should resign because he has presided over far too many debacles at this point. And I think his position has become untenable.
We'll wait and see what the Taoiseach may or may not decide to do with cabinet reshuffles and things like that. But anyway, listen, Senator David Cullinan, Sinn Féin, thank you very, very much for taking our call and coming on the programme this morning.
Good morning.